What's the secret behind passionate teams? Why are there only a few out there and how can we get more of them? If you've asked yourself these questions, then this podcast is for you. We are talking with national and international experts about passionate teams to answer these questions. This is our passion. This is what we are burning for. Welcome to the Passionate Teams Podcast. So, welcome everybody to another episode of the Passionate Teams Podcast. This time it's really an interesting setup. So I'm sitting here in Germany, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I have an interesting guest with me today. It's Chris Merman, and he's sitting in Dallas in Texas. And so, good evening, Chris. So how are you?
I'm great. It is not near as late where I am as you are. I have no idea how you have the energy to film a podcast at 1 a.m, but I applaud your passion since we're talking about the subject, right?
Yeah, that's my passion, right. So, Chris, maybe just tell me a bit about you. Who you are, what are you doing, and maybe what's your background?
Yeah, so I work in IT on the consulting side. My passion is really helping people understand how to make their work better. I do this mostly as an agile coach and leadership coach. I work for a company called Solutions IQ. We are an Accenture company, so I have 400,000 comrades across the globe that I do this with. My company was purchased to kind of ramp up our agile and business agility capabilities, and a lot of my colleagues in the agile community are passionate about how do we build the right environment around teams. That's one of the agile principles. Create the right environment around self-driven and motivated and passionate individuals, and kind of sit back and let them go. So it in many ways, this podcast is a lot of what drives my industry. So I'm a native Texan. I don't know how many of your listeners have ever been to Texas, but it's a beautiful place. Come eat some barbecue and some steaks. I'll show you all the great spots. But for the most part, I just focus on my work, and I do some blogging, and I speak at some agile conferences from time to time about this very subject, kind of a thing. That's me. Did I get it all?
Cool. And of course, we will put your link to your blogs also into the show notes, that everybody can click on it and look what you're doing. And yeah, I think this will be really, really interesting. So, Chris, how would you define a passionate team?
So, I'm not sure how many of your guests have done this before, but I needed to refresh my memory as to when I say what passion is, like, am I really speaking from a place of authority on the subject? Because, I mean, there's a lot of times where you think you know what a word means, and does it actually mean what you think it means? So I looked it up, and there's several kind of sort of closely knitted definitions, but the one I thought was most interesting was that passion was described as a strong and barely controllable emotion. I found that really interesting, of when the barely controllable part, right?
Yeah.
Passion is in many ways unbridled, is a way that I would term it sometimes. It's not reined in. It's kind of, the more it goes, the more it kind of just fuels itself, kind of a thing. So I think that, in my opinion, the most passionate teams I've been on exhibit that to a degree, like organized chaos to a small degree. I'm the type of person where I've been leading teams in the past that I don't so much of our day has to be scripted out for us, and we have these things that we have to get done. And so the in-between times, the in-between those scheduled moments, that's when passion comes out, right? That's when those little uncontrolled outbursts of whether it's, you know, we're trying to struggle with a problem and people are really stressed out and someone will play, you know, a YouTube video for us to laugh at to break the tension, or, you know, you do a stand up and, you know, you're in the middle of this really big, long release and people are frustrated. And so it's, you know, you show one time I showed up at stand up with some party hats and noisemakers and candy. This is at like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And I just said, everybody grab a hat and a noisemaker. And, when everybody goes around the circle, like, you know, make some noise, like let's make everybody. And in those little moments are what you create, you create bonds and ties that you kind of need when you get to those moments. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it makes perfectly sense. And what just came to my mind as a question is, so how would you define really a passionate team? How does it differ from a normal team?
So I think that many equate passion to like it's just a feeling, right? And you know, when you feel something that strongly, whether it's laughter or joy or anger or sadness, like a lot of times that same, just like everything else, those feelings can feel, or they can seem unbridled and uncontrolled in that moment. And really, I think what makes passion different is, you know, it's really meant to be a positive driving force. Like it's this thing that pushes you to do things that you won't do. Now, to traits that are sort of correlated with that are things like safety, right? A passionate team feels safe that they can, you know, when those moments come out, like they're not worried about offending anybody or if they express an opinion that differs, you know, people are just seeing your ideas as, it's just, you know, you're passionate about it and they don't take offense super easy to it. There's also a lot of diversity in passionate teams because really if you have a team where everybody kind of looks and acts and talks and sounds kind of the same, you kind of sort of get into a rhythm, and passion doesn't like rhythm, right, Mark? Like passion really needs to be, it have its own drumbeat. And you get that from diverse ideas. So, you know, it's passionate teams really are a fuel in and of themselves. Like they fuel each other, they drive each other, they guide each other. Not everybody's going to have the same feelings or emotions at the exact same time. So when that happens, like a passionate team will be like, hey, Mark, I noticed that you're, it seems like you're having a down day, or this isn't your, you know, it seems like you're really struggling with this task kind of a thing. Like, how can I help? How can I give? So like that giving, it almost becomes contagious. Does that make sense?
Yeah, what I just hear out what you say is just like it's a really energetic team, which is just moving and just trying to get things out of their way.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a constant movement, right? Like you would just burn yourself out if you just woke up every day and said, no, I need, you know, we need to just be going at a breakneck pace, right? We need to put the pedal to the metal, as they say. You would just burn yourself out after a while. So, I mean, really, I think in a way, like you have to make room for passion to enter when it needs it, because maybe you don't always need it. Maybe you just need some heads down time. Everybody's got their headphones on and working, and you kind of get out of their way. But if you make room for those moments, those in-between moments, like I mentioned earlier, then really they will, that will flourish. And you'll recognize, oh man, we're about to hit a moment, right? Mm-hmm. And then you see those moments coming, and then you foster an encouragement, and that's when like true inspiration comes, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I just recently read an article, and the author was really about this passion hype can be also dangerous. Like you just said, if you're really passionate about something, it can also be that you're moving so fast and have a really high pace that in the end you're really burning out, right? And this is really, there's a danger also in it, I would say. if you're really too passionate about and it's the only thing in your life maybe, and you're just focusing on the thing without looking left and right, this could also lead to maybe big problems.
Now, I'll interview you for a second. So why do you, I guess in that explanation, like, I guess I didn't hear what is it that feels so dangerous about it? Is it just because it's taboo, or it's because it's not, because it's more loud and boisterous kind of a thing? Like, is that why it felt dangerous, you think?
I think what they say, what is dangerous about it is really, you need a lot of energy. If you really live your passion day by day, hour by hour, you need a lot of energy to really go in this direction. And at some point in time, maybe you don't have that energy anymore. I think it was the idea of the author who wrote this article.
Yeah, I can see how that would be a struggle. I mentioned that earlier about, like, you can't keep up that pace for forever.
Right.
So I can see that. But I would say that those folks that do, and I'm not saying I'm one of them, but I the people that have the ability to foster passion in their teams, then they can recognize, like, hey, I don't need it all the time, right? Like, it's not like a light bulb that's always on. You can flip it on and off when you need it, or maybe you just make room for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. Makes perfectly sense for me, at least.
Yeah. So, all right. So, I guess the question is what do we, like, what is it that flips that switch on? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm interested. I would be interested in, like, if it is a switch that we can flip on, or it is something. I mean, sometimes it's spontaneous, right? It's uncontrolled. We don't control when passion arises. I wonder what that trigger is.
That leads me to my next question. Have you ever been working in a passionate team?
Oh, many times. I've been coaching teams for 4 or 5 years now in some various shapes and forms. I've worked for a few startups. And a lot of startups have that because, you know, you there's so much work to do and there's not many of you doing it. And so, you know, you're kind of running at that breakneck pace that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of days where it's like, we've got to get this done. And I don't know how, we don't know where it's going to come from. And there's a lot of coffee or, you know, late night food runs kind of a thing. I've also participated in many 24-hour hackathon kind of a things. And those are huge passion efforts, because you're staying up for 24 hours takes a lot of work as it is, but to do it and do it in a way that really drives you towards making something, you gotta summon something extra, extra in. But, I think the most passionate, I'm honestly going back to what I feel like makes up a passionate team. The most passionate teams I've had, they've got a very diverse mix to them. I've had some teams where it's almost 50-50 versus men and women, and have, you know, people of different socioeconomic backgrounds and, you know, come from different parts of the world kind of a thing. And I feel like those are, you get to see something you're not accustomed to. You get to hear ideas you're not accustomed to. And those really pique your interest. So I think that that's like, those are, in fact, one of my absolute favorite teams where there were a lot of inappropriate jokes made and which is funny because it was 50-50 men and women, and the women were making just as many, you know, jokes that some might consider inappropriate, but it was just part of our camaraderie, how we chatted and talked. That was the same team that also brought the party hats to stand up one day. You just say, like, hey, like, gang, everybody stop what you're doing. Like, let's go get lunch. I'm buying lunch somewhere. Like, you know, when everybody, you just feel like the energy kind of sapping or whatever, and be like, everybody stop, let's go get lunch. And then it turns into, you know, this hour and a half, 2 hour thing where everybody's kind of joking around and playing games, and then you're kind of fueled. So the other way I've seen passionate teams are is they've I was on this really this great team where everybody had the ability to, not everybody's going to be a great public speaker, but when someone's, when the team is speaking to each other, they know how to hold a room, And when I say that, I mean, like when they speak, like they had everybody's attention. And it doesn't mean you have to be loud and be a polished public speaker, because not everybody was like that. I do speaking, and so I've had practice at it, but you don't have to be a polished public speaker to hold a room. You just need to be able to communicate in a way that says, this is a big deal to me and it matters a lot to me. And there was a team of eight that we were working on a brand new project. And it was basically just us sitting in this room. We'd go out and meet with the client, and then we'd come back and have our own ideas. And then we'd go back and meet with the client and come back and kind of bounce ideas off each other. And those times where we were in the room, we weren't just waiting for our turn to talk. We were focused on each other. We looked at each other and said, like, wow, like I see what you mean. I see that this is a big deal. Those things come out. So I've been very fortunate in my career to work with a lot of talented people, because when you have those passionate moments, like, you remember them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what I just heard out was, you think for a passionate team, you need, first of all, diversity, which is not only men and women. It's just also about cultural backgrounds, maybe also backgrounds, as you said, in different areas like finance, IT, whatever. But you also need some kind of slack also in between, that people have the possibilities to maybe do something different, maybe have some time for fun, for example. And yeah. What I also heard out is that there's always some kind of oneness, right? There's attention to each other. They are focusing on each other. You can get a voice if you have to say something. Yeah, something like a oneness, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that comes from mutual respect, right? I mean, the passionate teams that you've been on, they've exhibited a trust, right? And a, you know, there's a value for each other's decisions and ideas that are made. There's no, if you are second guessing, like it's taken respectfully and instead of being defensive. And if you do get defensive, you give each other, you know, give each other a break and say, it's okay, you know, it's okay to be, because if you're all passionate and you were all working on this one, like you're unified on this effort, like sometimes you are going to, you know, say something upsetting or you're going to get upset. People so often, I don't know about where you, you know, the, about cultures in the offices that you're used to, but, for so long in my career, there was this feeling of like, well, if you want to get somewhere and you want to promote and you want to advance, like you have to learn to keep your emotions in check. And, and it never felt right to me. I never understood it. Because it just didn't seem we're emotional creatures. Like, how is it to be successful that I have to suppress a part of who I really, really am? And so I feel that if you were truly authentic, passionate team, right? Like your emotions will shine. They will just absolutely shine through and through. People will cry. People will laugh. They will hug each other. They'll make jokes. I think one of my favorite teams ever, I had a couple people pull me in and like for discussions and we cried together and we hugged and, people were frustrated. Their family life was difficult at the time. And hopefully that came from a feeling of safety, right? They felt safe in that group. Going back to another trait, but if they are safe, then their emotions will come through and it will be okay for those emotions to come through. That's so important.
So when I get you right, you suggest it's important that there is some respect in the team and also trust. Because I think this will create some environment of safety, right, where you can express your feelings and talk whatever is coming to your mind. And maybe it's also okay to laugh and to cry and to hug each other and so on. So the question from me is now, this is awesome. And I think a lot of listeners of this podcast would love to work in such an environment. So what does it take to create such an environment? What do you think are or is needed to get there?
So I guess, well, let me answer your question by asking a quick question. Do you feel like that this originates from leadership, or can this originate from anybody on the team?
I think both. So I think leadership is quite important from my point of view, at least. But also I think from team perspective, maybe we start with leadership. What do you think is, how important is leadership in such an environment?
I think that leadership can help. So I mentioned earlier that one of the Agile principles is to create the right environment around motivated individuals. And I feel like leadership has to be a part of that. Now, the team has to use it, right? The team has to use the environment that they've been given once they get it. But there are so many companies where they don't have the ability to create their own environment. So whenever I'm leading teams and I'm starting out with them, I always like to do a fair amount of expectation setting in the very beginning. So if there are whoever the team lead or leaders are when I first am assigned to a team to coach, I always ask them, what do you expect from me? And can I tell you what I expect from you? It's really important to know what they think that you should be providing and doing as a leader. Because if you make the assumption that, well, I'm a leader, so I do leader things, and that's where a lot of miscommunication happens. I set what's they're called many things on teams, but I call it team norms, where you just do like kind of some rules of engagement, like these are the ways that I want our working agreement, like these are our kind of the principles of when we interact with each other, like, hey, if we're in a meeting, wait for a break to get on your phone or your computer, kind of a thing. Let's be in this discussion, or only one person talk at a time. But also I tell them, first off, this is going to like this will be messy. You have to admit that you're not going to do everything perfectly. And this is not going to, like, if we're going to be a passionate team, if we're going to be productive and helpful, it's not going to be pretty all the time. It's not going to be buttoned up and perfect. Like, you have to admit, open up, like, up front, this will not all be pretty. It will be messy. I say that that's a good thing, right? Messy is okay. That allows for slack, like you mentioned earlier, because those moments of passion can come out in the slack. And also, I let them know that there's no science to this, right? There's a phrase that often we use called the art of the possible. And I didn't make that up. Someone, I don't know who did, but if we think of what's possible, like there's no science to it. It is truly an art. Like, what we do about creating environments for people, especially for leaders, it's an art. And so we're going to have to experiment, and we're going to have to be open about things. I always tell, I don't know if it's coming across over on a audio format, but, I kind of have a bigger personality. And so I always like to set the tone with jokes, and I'm self-deprecating. So I like, like making jokes at my expense, just so that everybody can get a laugh in. Whenever I'm facilitating, I try to keep it light. Cause when you let them know, like, A, it's okay to joke around here, and B, like, I'm not infallible. I can be picked on and joked with, kind of a thing. It lets them know it's okay for me to do this as well. And then we kind of start building a camaraderie and a fun presence. And I think you can create that. Now, obviously, they have to respond, right? So I think that that's what I would consider from a leadership perspective. Do you feel like there are things that you would do additionally that I missed?
It depends. If you're coming in as some kind of a coach from the outside, right? The question for me would be also what do the leaders in a certain company have to do to set the right tone or set the right environment?
Yeah. Do you think that, I guess they can set the tone by doing this? Like, again, we leaders have to. So if I'm not the leader, if I'm working with the leadership team, so when I coach teams now, I work before I even get introduced to teams. I meet their leaders, like who's their directors or vice presidents or, you know, CIOs or whatever. And I say, and I do the exact same thing. What do you expect from me? What do you feel like? What do you feel like are the good, some good outcomes and behavior? Like I ask them, what do you want? What would you like your teams to behave like? How would you want them to behave? What are some traits that you would want from these teams? And you can, based on those outcomes, then you can try some experiments, right? So, and that can be happened a variety of ways. And by, again, embracing the art of the possible, you say, look, first thing I try, probably not going to work. It's just the best educated guess. If I do get it right the first time, totally lucky.
Okay.
Right. Often you'll experiment by doing some, you know, you'll experiment and you'll learn new things. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. It leads me to my next question, which would be, what was your worst experience? Maybe there was a great team already, or there was a team was just built up and something maybe bad happened, or there was a bad environment. So what was your worst experience regards passion, where passion was destroyed maybe?
When I walk into a client office now, often I'm there coaching as part of some big transformation effort, right? Mm-hmm. And there are times that the people that hired me and brought me in, they're like, hey, go make my team better, right? Go make my program better, make these teams better, make all these people, just go coach them and make them better, kind of a thing. But I'm not working with those leaders on a day in, day out basis. And the people that I end up working with, they are not the ones that hired me, and they're not the ones that asked me to come. Mm-hmm. And so often I encounter some pushback because they're not expecting. They're like, well, we think we're doing fine. We don't think we need to change. Or they feel nervous about maybe my job will change, mm-hmm. or maybe my title is going to change. Mm-hmm. If I don't do well, this is my job at stake. This independent consultant's coming in and is going to have sway over, what my work is. And so often I face struggle from that. And that creates, like you mentioned, tension that nobody wants to speak to and nobody wants to mention. I actually just finished reading, I'll email it to you afterwards, but I just finished reading this white paper on organizational silence, mm-hmm. which is to say this, when you don't have a feeling of safety in organizations, and when the leadership and the systems and workflows have been set up in a way to not encourage people to speak up, eventually people just start saying anything. They just say, look, I'm just going to go do my job. I'm not going to really innovate. I'm not going to care if something goes wrong and my boss is making a decision I don't like. Doesn't matter because my boss isn't going to appreciate my ideas anyways. And so I'm just going to shut up and I'm not going to say anything. And that is a toxic, toxic environment. You want to talk about a company of unpassionate people? It's when they don't feel like they can speak up. And so many companies struggle with that. Just think of the number of companies you've worked with and the times you've been in a meeting room and someone should have spoken up, but nobody did because they felt like they could. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
I've seen that so much, and it's not, and the crazier part is that it takes so much work to get that out, right? You almost have to you just have to leave the company sometimes because you have to flush out all of leadership and all those bad practices, and many companies aren't willing to do that.
Yeah, I think the problem is if you have a culture like that where you are not allowed to speak up, or where you get punished for doing stuff wrong, like you don't have a really culture of learning and accepting that you can make mistakes and learn from that. People will at some point in time will just stop trying and experiment and stop evolving and doing the next right steps. And I think this is when we come in and we have to help them to relearn and to get in a different direction. But That also means that we have to change the culture too. If you don't change the culture and you just coach somebody and he maybe tried again and then he fails again and he gets punished again, and then yeah, it won't work at all.
Yeah, and if, I think that to your point, you can do something about it at the team level. Now, you will have a severe amount of opposition to creating a safe environment or create a passionate environment. But I have worked in companies that seemed rather oppressive and restrictive and people that didn't speak up. And I've had teams that just say, you know what, screw it. Like, I know that everybody else outside of this room, that's everybody else outside of this room. But in this room, we're gonna care. Mm-hmm. We're gonna make a difference. And that's like that requires an extreme amount of bravery, because when you work at a company like that, sometimes people are like, oh, is my job gonna be in jeopardy if I do this? Like, what if I go along with y'all and it doesn't work? I don't want to, you know. But again, going back to the strong and barely controllable emotion, passion has to be a bit risky and take on some, you know. They have to be willing to say, like, hey, look, if I'm going to be here, we have to be here under these circumstances. And if there have been situations where I was faced with, do I put my job at risk or do I care about doing the right thing? And I've made both decisions. There have been times where I protected my paycheck. And there have been times when I've said, you know what, I don't care if I get fired. This is important to me. And sometimes it's happened, but again, passionate people, passionate teams they have to be willing to throw a little bit of caution to the wind and being able to say, well, we can change things here if we really put our minds to it.
Yeah. Take it, change it, or leave it.
Yeah. That's a good saying. I like that.
Something I use a lot in my working life.
Take it, change it, or leave it, you said.
Yeah. Good. And as time is running really fast, we're already close to the end of this podcast episode. I would like to ask you, do you have some final words for the listener out there? What they can just take with them getting back to work and trying to create more passionate teams?
Yeah, well, I think we've touched on so many of them here. You could probably do any number of the things that we've mentioned, Mark, and probably make a difference in teams. I think if I had to pick one though, is you don't have to be afraid that, like, well, my team's been working together for years and we didn't get off to a good start, and so it's kind of too late. It's never too late. I that's one thing that I would encourage people, is it's never too late to start fresh and anew and just say, look, let's have a chat, let's talk, let's, you know, what are you thinking and feeling? What do you want to change? Like, what can we do here? But it's never too late. But I think the thing that you can do most is just, like you said, create some slack. If your days are just hour after hour after hour, you're scheduled, and you don't have time to just be in the moment and work and huddle and converse, that probably fosters passion better than anything else, by just giving us some slack and saying, like, hey, let's all go, whether it's lunch or bringing donuts and coffee in. As awful as donuts are for you, sometimes sugar can be really helpful in getting the motor started.
Yeah.
But just create some slack for your teams and just sit back and watch them. Like, I've seen so many people try to say, like, well, I'm going to make it happen. And you can't. Sometimes the best leadership that you can do is to just sit back, you know, create the best environment you can, sit back, let them have some slack, and just watch them go. And sometimes it may just happen regardless of whatever you do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you for these awesome last words, Chris. And it was a real pleasure talking to you. This for me, it's morning. And maybe we have a chance sometime to meet somewhere, maybe at the next conference in the US or whatever. If you come over to Europe, just let me know. Maybe we can.
Yeah. I'll sleep on your couch.
Yeah, of course, no problem. You can do couch surfing anytime.
So, yeah, I love that you're doing this podcast. I think that this is really incredible, and I think that more people should know like this topic. So I wish you all the best of luck in getting this going.
Thank you very much. So I wish you a nice dinner and see you soon, I hope. Bye.